Well, good morning.
Good morning.
It's good to see everybody this morning. We are so glad that you're with us here on this second Sunday after Pentecost. And we want to welcome everybody. And a little bit later on, we'll be continuing with our second message in the new series I'm doing on wisdom for living and through the book of Proverbs. And so I hope that's a blessing later on. But we want to welcome all of you. We're so glad that you're here today and that you get to experience God's presence and fellowship with one another a little bit later on. So as we begin, let's stand together and join and sing our Gloria Patria.
Glory be to the Father and to the
Well, let's join together there for our call to worship. Come into God's presence.
All are welcome here.
Come, saints and sinners alike.
We are all God's children.
Wisdom has brought us here.
Christ will make us whole.
Come, let us worship. Let's join together then and turn in our hymn books if you'd like to. Hymn number 650, I Love to Tell the Story. Or you can follow along on the PowerPoint. We're singing all four verses this morning.
I love to tell the story of unseen things above, of Jesus and His glory, of Jesus and His love. I love to tell the story because I know 'tis true. It satisfies my longings as nothing else can do. I love to tell the story. 'Twill be my theme in glory to tell the old, old story of Jesus and His love. I love to tell the story, more wonderful it seems than all the golden
Jesus and his love. Well, let's join together for our opening prayer this morning. Eternal God, as we worship this day, extend to us the daily wisdom we need revealed in Jesus Christ, so we may walk with strength, courage, and purpose in life's journey. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And you may be seated. And I'm going to invite our kids to come down this morning if they would.
So, and you know what? do, and Jesus does too, helps us with their teachings in the Bible so that we can grow, not only physically, get stronger, but also spiritually, so we can trust God in life. Okay, you guys are going downstairs, and I think Miss Linda is working with you today. Looks like several are going out, so you guys keep going on down this morning. And
we're going to go to our time of prayer. And maybe you have a joy or concern that you would like to share with prayer time this morning. And we'll let you do that. So somebody this morning, way in the back. Yep.
Can I have an announcement? I forgot.
That's fine.
George wanted me to let you know, Joyful Beginnings tomorrow at the Fletcher Church at 2. And they're going to have a lady come in who goes in character with one of the women from the Bible.
Oh, okay.
She wrote a book and she's going to write her book and whatever. But it's at 2. So we're inviting all ladies. And if they want to invite a friend to come.
Okay. That sounds like an interesting thing. I always liked it when people acted out characters from the Bible. Did?
Well, lift up Jody. She's going to the hospital tomorrow to have a kidney stone blast.
Yes, thank you for reminding me. She told me that Friday night, and yes.
And then also, we need to remember the Dusty Taylor family and Marcella Rose family.
Okay, so we want to remember the Taylor family and the Roth family, with the loss of those loved ones, and someone else. Yeah.
I have an unspoken.
Okay. We know the Lord knows that, and I saw another hand. Yep.
Go ahead. Please keep remembering Barney. He's being very stubborn, and
okay, well, we know that, yeah, so we'll definitely keep him in prayer this morning, and, yeah, so.
Yeah, from the prayer groups, please remember Joy Fry. That's Karen and Richard, well, it's Karen's sister, and
okay, so I missed several there. I don't even know where to begin. Okay, after Joyce, who was next? No, okay, yeah. Who was after Jean?
Carol.
Oh, Carol, okay. I did not hear Carol's name, so. And then after that, the family. The Beyer family?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
And then Randy?
Maybe on those long lists, you may want to, it might help just to give that to me.
Okay.
Yeah, because when you start rattling them off and I'm still writing down what their issue is, I get lost. So I apologize about that. Somebody else this morning. I don't know if I got all of them or not, but yeah, go ahead.
Update on my sister Jill. She is doing wonderfully. She came home Wednesday. They actually talked about sending her home on Tuesday after her surgery was Monday. So she's doing great. We do still need prayers for good pathology reports. We're still waiting on those. My dad fell again and tweaked tweaked his back, and he's been in a significant amount of pain for about 5 days now. So nothing seems to be working.
Okay, so yeah, so we want to remember Jill and for Bruce, and I thought I saw another hand somewhere. Did I miss somebody? Or
Mary Sue fell.
Oh, I did not hear about that. I know she's at home now. I don't know if everybody knew that. She got to come home from Pequot Manor. Yeah, so yeah, no, I did not hear that. So any others?
Unspoken,
okay. And any others this morning then? All right, well, we got all of those, and definitely want to lift up the various names there, and some of those you may remember. And if there is something that you couldn't share, you can lift that up to God during that time as she's praying or playing, so you can pray, and then I'll come and close us out then. Gracious God, we are just so thankful that we have the opportunity to gather together in this place today as the people of God, as the family of God. And Lord, it just reminds us that when we gather, that your presence is here and that you teach us and give us wisdom and guidance, and we can join together, binding together, so to speak, in prayer and lifting up various needs. And so we want to do that today with the ones that have been mentioned. And Lord, we pray for Jody as she's going in tomorrow for that procedure to blast out that kidney stones. And we just pray that you'll guide and that everything will go well. We also pray for Barney, Lord, and we just pray that you'll just help him to be able to follow the instructions that his doctors are giving him for less stress in his life, and ask your continued strength for him. We pray for Joyce, Lord, as we lifted her up regarding this brain tumor. Lord, we just ask for your healing touch and your grace upon her body there. And as they do treatments, Lord, we just pray that that there will be shrinkage and that they'll be able to take care of that. Lord, we lift up Carol to you today. Lord, who's been having some health issues. We just ask for your healing touch and grace for her. We continue to lift up Jean, Lord. Thank you for the good report that she received. But Lord, we know that she needs to continue using that oxygen to help her. And we just pray for your continued touch upon her. Lord, we thank you for bringing Jill through that surgery successfully. We just pray that there will be a good report on the pathology and that your continued healing touch will be with her. We pray for Bruce and lift him up to you for your continued strength and touch on his back, Lord, whatever may be going on there exactly. We lift up Mary Sue, Lord, for continued strength for her. And we lift her up to you this morning. And Lord, then we lift up these families, Lord, the Taylor family, Roth family, the Byers family today, with the loss of these loved ones. God, we just ask that you would bring your peace and your comfort and your grace for each of those. But Lord, especially for the Taylor family, with the loss of this young husband in his 30s, God. And we just pray for your your presence to be real in that situation. I can't even imagine what that wife is going through. And we just pray that you will just surround them, Lord, with love and hope in the midst of that situation. And Lord, we lift up these two unspoken requests, God. Lord, we know that you know what those needs are. We ask that you would meet those and move and work. And we pray for anyone that's here today, Lord, that maybe something they could not share. We just ask that you would work and move as only you can do. And we thank you for that. And Lord, we continue to pray for our world, Lord. We continue to pray for peace in our world. We continue to lift up the people in the countries of Ukraine and Russia and the fighting that's going on and the war. God, we just pray for peace and ceasefire and to find a way somehow, Lord, work that all out in what is going on there and other places around the world. And we continue to give wisdom to leaders here at home and around the world. But also when we think of home, Lord, we think of national and state and local, Lord, and continue to give them guidance and wisdom. And Lord, we just ask your blessing upon the rest of our time of our service today. Lord, as we break the bread of your word today, may you just feed us and help us in practical ways to grow in wisdom and be the people that you want us to be. And then as we share at the table, God, we just ask your blessing there and that your presence, Jesus, would be real, that you would feed our spirits and our souls, Lord, as we partake this morning. And we're so grateful for all of those things as we ask all of these things in the name of Jesus, our Savior, the one who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Hear our prayers, O Lord. Hear our prayers, O Lord. Incline thine ear to us and grant us thy peace. Thank you for joining us in prayer. Well, we have the opportunity to worship the Lord with our giving. And once again, thank you so much for your faithfulness. It is your generosity that continues the work of the church here locally and then throughout the wider church and across the world as we are a blessing. So as our ushers come this morning, God bless you as you give today. Let's join together there for our prayer of dedication. Gracious God, we give and send forth these gifts in wisdom that they may be instruments of your circle of grace and faith. Amen. And you may be seated this morning. Our scripture reading this morning is coming from Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3, and we're going to be reading verses 1 through 12, and you can follow along there on the PowerPoint this morning. My child, don't forget my instructions. Let my commands guard your heart, because they will help you live a long time and provide you with well-being. Don't let love and faithfulness leave you. Bind them on your neck. Write them on the tablets of your heart. Then you will find favor and approval in the eyes of God and humanity. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't rely on your own intelligence. Know Him in all your paths, and He will keep your ways straight. Don't consider yourself wise. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. Then your body will be healthy and your bones strengthened. Honor the Lord with your wealth and with the first fruits of all your crops. Then your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will burst with wine. Don't reject the instruction of the Lord, my child. Don't despise His correction. The Lord loves those He corrects, just like a father who treats his son with favor. That is God's word for us this morning. And I pray that God would add His blessing to the reading of the word, and that the Spirit would give us ears to hear what God wants to say to us this morning. Amen and amen. Well, it was an extremely hot and humid day. A young traveling minister from West Virginia stopped out to talk with the father about coming to church for 15 to 20 minutes while they were out there in the hot sun by the well. The man then lowered the bucket into the well and pulled up some cool water. The man grabbed a dipper and got a drink. He offered one to the preacher. The preacher was powerfully thirsty, but he didn't like the idea of sharing the same dipper as the family, but knew it would offend them if he didn't. So the father scooped up the dipper of the water and handed it to the preacher. In a flash of brilliance, he thought he would take his drink right next to the handle. As he finished, the father turned to the family and said, "Look, he drank from Grandma's favorite spot." The young minister looked at Grandma, who was smiling, and he smiled. And about that time, Grandma spit out her chewing tobacco into the dipper. I know. Well, so it was either that one or dad jokes, and I'm saving the dad jokes for next week. So now, see, you guys were all grossed out, and I thought that was a funny joke. But anyway, because when I first read it, because I was going through, I got a whole bunch of them. And when I started to read that, I started laughing. So I guess I just must have warped humor or something there. Wisdom for living. Last week, we started a new series entitled Wisdom for Living. Our first message last week focused on the need for wisdom. In that message, we considered the importance of wisdom, how it is more important than anything else in life, and how wisdom offers us the ability to flourish in life. And then we considered the nature of wisdom as both the skill and insight that God gives us for daily living, as well as finding true wisdom in Jesus and His way. Well, this morning, in our second message, we're going to focus on obtaining or growing in wisdom. Now, ideally, from our reading this morning, Wisdom was something in ancient Israel that started when you were young. They wanted to teach you young. Just like some of you, when you were growing up, your parents started to teach you very early in life. And when they were young, you started to give them wisdom and taught them how to do this or taught them how to do that or whatever it may be. But the one thing we see from our reading today, and as we go through this series, is that wisdom grows in our lives all through life. And so as we think about this morning and think about growing in wisdom, I want to kind of focus in on two areas here this morning. And the first one is the path of wisdom, path of wisdom. So in Scripture, life is often compared to a pathway or a road. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." So why is that? Why is that life and growing in life and everything about life compared to a pathway or a road or something of that nature? Well, let's begin there by talking about it in this light. Wisdom is a journey of daily practices. That's what kind of we mean by that. Notice what the wisdom teacher, the sage there from our reading said. And we're very familiar with this verse. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. The good old King James there. Or intellect is the Hebrew word there. In all your pathways, know God or acknowledge God. And he will keep those ways or that path or that road straight for us. Wisdom is a journey of daily practices. The path of wisdom is a daily journey of humility and trust in the Lord, relying on the Lord. And that's not just something we do one time in our life when we pray a prayer or when we get baptized. It's something that happens every day in our life. It is a repeated, even mundane practice of daily relying on God. And if we're going to have wisdom be a part of our lives and grow in wisdom in our daily lives, we have to learn to daily acknowledge God. This path of wisdom is a steady forward trek, so to speak. You know, if you had children or grandchildren, or maybe you, I know some of you were in the military, and when you went through basic training, one of the early things you learned to do was march. And when you went on long tracks, you marched in cadence, usually. And that drill sergeant would be singing some cadence song. You know, here's the most famous one. "I don't know what you've been told." And then they repeat it back. So you're marching in a cadence. And that is the way the book of Proverbs conveys how we learn wisdom in life. That's why I was a little surprised when the kids said that their parents never told them to follow certain instructions, because I remember growing up learning lots of instructions that I was told, especially when my dad was trying to teach me how to do something. You know, you got to do it like this. And he would show me. One of the earliest ones when I was a young kid is I remember standing in the bathroom with my dad, and he goes, "Come here. I want you to pay attention. I'm going to shave." And he got out he put a little water on his face and got the shaving cream on, and then he started shaving. And he was, so that, you know, there's just different ways that we teach our kids different things. And that's the way wisdom happens in our lives. Every day, it's a journey of humility and trust. And when we get down to the end of the sermon, we're going to find out why it's so important to have humility and trust. Because if we reject learning and think we know it all, we're not going to become wiser. We will become what Proverbs says is a fool. And so we want to be able to have this humility, this trust, and intellect, and to learn so that we can grow in wisdom. So wisdom is a journey of daily practices. And a little bit here, when I get to my second point, I'm going to share with you five quick daily practices that can help us. But I want to say something else about this, about the path of wisdom. And that's this. Wisdom is not a door. Now, this is a very important point to get a hold of, because many of us, and most of our culture today, wants wisdom to be a door. In other words, we want to know the key so that we can turn the key, unlock, walk in, and all of a sudden we got wisdom. And now we're smart and wise and we can handle everything. In other words, we want it to just happen like that. But as we all know, wisdom doesn't function that way. Wisdom is a lifelong journey, a long path of trust and learning. Or as Eugene Peterson said, who did the translation, the paraphrase called The Message, if you've ever read The Message Bible, he said it's the long direction of obedience down a certain path. And that's what we're talking about. And hopefully, in the process, we become wiser. I mean, think about when you were a kid and where you're at today. I'm assuming you're wiser than you were when you were a kid. And I'm assuming that, especially those of you that are older and have grandkids and great-grandkids, that you've been, in the best way you can, trying to pass that wisdom on to your kids and grandkids and great-grandkids. I remember my dad doing that. And how I remember the one thing that my dad said. He goes, one day when you invest your money, and he says, and things start to go south, he says, don't jump out, because you'll lose a whole bunch of money if you do. He says, wait it out. And you know what? That's advice maybe we need to hear in the past few years. So what does this journey, this path of wisdom entail? And that's why I want to lead us to the next thing, is the process of wisdom. What are the daily repeatable practices that can help us to gain wisdom or draw upon wisdom in our lives? And I'm going to go through these five real quick here. Number one, nurture love and faithfulness. Never let love and faithfulness abandon you. Wear it like a necklace. Inscribe it on your heart. You know what that's talking about? It's talking about us each day taking God's love and faithfulness deep within our being and creating a visible reminder. Somehow we have to remind ourselves every day that God loves me and that God is committed to me no matter what in my life. And it's a reminder of God's presence in our life. And that is essential to growing in wisdom. Because if we struggle with those areas, if we struggle with whether God loves me, or if we struggle with if God is with me when I don't seem to sense God, what'll happen is we make knee-jerk reaction decisions instead of decisions that come with confidence and faith, knowing that God loves me and God is with me and God is leading me. And such nurturing of this love and faithfulness forms an inner calm and confidence that will lead to a life that is pleasing both to God and people that we come around with, that we come around and are involved with. They will see that inner calm and confidence in us and wonder what that's all about. It's because of trusting in the Lord and that wisdom and knowing God loves us and that God is committed to us. Second thing is self-awareness is essential. Self-awareness is essential. Don't be wise in your own eyes. The wise in the book of Proverbs are extremely aware of their own weaknesses and limitations. So self-awareness helps us then to grow. Like, let me just give an example. Let's say you're working on something and you're like, man, I'm not sure how to begin tackling this. This is not really a strength of mine, but I got to deal with this. How am I going to handle this? Well, you can just kind of arrogantly think, I got it. I'll take care of it. Have you ever done that? And then it just got worse and things became a bigger mess. I mean, I've done that before. And, or we can ask somebody that's been through this, that knows what's going on, and we can say, God, help me, or can you help me? And we end up finding that there are people out there that love to help us, and we end up improving and growing, and we find that seeking help is okay. It's all right. In one of my last seminary classes, we had an assignment. Everybody that got a master's degree had to take a class on everything that we had learned. How are we going to connect that with our lives and ministry? And I remember the very first assignment that he gave us, and he happened to be the professor that I had for that class. There was different ones. He was the chair of the psychology and counseling department at Ashland. And then there was another one up in Cleveland and so forth. And I'll never forget, he goes, here's what I want you to do. This is your first assignment. And he goes, I want you to be thoughtful about it. List all of your strengths and talk about them, and then list all of your weaknesses and talk about them. Well, I could name off two or three strengths right away. And then I could name off one or two weaknesses right away. But as I thought deeper, the weaknesses were, you had to spend some time. Number two, you had to be willing to admit those were weaknesses, because he was trying to get us to see that in ministry, we will have strengths, but where we're weak, we need other people to help us. And we see that at work too. If you can't get something done, you got to be able to find people that can help you to get things done. And that was hard. And so self-awareness is essential. The third thing, and this is what I had already touched on, is seek the advice of others. My child, never forget the things I taught you. Don't depend on your own insights. Don't be sure of your own wisdom. One of the things you see in the book of Proverbs is the wise are wise because they seek the counsel of others. They cherish mentors, advisors, and friends that will help them. And such wisdom leads to, as the sage said there, renewed strength and health in our life. That's very interesting. Why would the sage, wisdom teacher, say that to us? Why would that be true, that we can gain strength in our own lives? Because we're not trying to do it all on our own. Sometimes when we do it all on our own and don't ask for help, guess what we do? We get tired. We get worn out. We get weak. And fools, as the proverb says, fools only listen to themselves. They because they know it all. And we all struggle at times with that if we're not careful. And the key to growing in wisdom is when we need help to ask for it. The next one is, let God's instructions guard our hearts. Let my commands guard your hearts. Don't reject the Lord's instructions. Okay. We often joke about guys never following the instructions when they're putting something together that they got from the store. But wisdom grows in our lives by following the instructions. Wisdom grows when we take God's living word and allow it to guard our hearts. And I want you to hear what that says there. Notice it says that, let my commands guard your heart. Sometimes we want to guard God's word. So we get into debates and fights with people that don't believe God's word like we do, or the Bible the way we do. But God's calling us to let the word of God shape us and guard us. And such wisdom leads to a long life full of peace and well-being. And then the final thing here, and I told you that it would kind of lead up to this, is don't reject correction. My child, don't despise correction, for discipline is a sign of divine love. The path of wisdom and growing in wisdom always involves correction. Now, sometimes we don't like that, do we? You know, it'd be nice if we never had to be corrected, or somebody to tell us, no, that's not the best way to do it. Try it this way, or whatever it may be. And the thing is when we remain open to learning and people helping us to better understand scripture or our spiritual walk or something practical in our lives, when we remain open to new things, Proverbs calls us wise. In fact, what happens is, and I want you to hear this in the right kind of light, when we keep rejecting correction, the book of Hebrews tells us that God will use difficult circumstances in our lives to correct us and shape us. The hard times, so to speak. And the key there is not letting bitterness in the process creep into our hearts. That's why it says don't despise the Lord's correction. Or one translation says don't reject the Lord's discipline. But rather, we want the times that we face in life that are difficult to draw us closer to God. When I was younger, a little bit younger than Chase, I asked my grandma if she would teach me how to garden. Now, I did a little bit at my other grandparents, a little bit at mom and dad's, but grandma had this big garden and she hadn't done anything with it for a year or two. And I said, Grandma, I'll help you, in my excitement. Well, I knew it would take work, but I didn't realize the daily or weekly work involved with that big garden. And I learned the hard way when the weeds started taking over. And I had to get in there and deal with them. Let me ask you a question this morning. Are you feeling weedy today? Are your daily practices falling on hard ground or to the wayside because they just seem kind of redundant? And, well, yeah, I know God loves me, you know. But then trouble comes along. Oh, I wonder if God loves me. Is God still with me? You know what I'm saying? And you know, that's why some of these things that we're talking, remember, wisdom is a lifetime path, a long, patient journey of trusting and learning over and over again. And daily practices are a part of that, where we remind ourselves of God's love and faithfulness, where we're aware of our own weaknesses and strengths in our lives, and we can allow God to help us and allow others to help us, and we seek the advice of others. And we let God's instructions guard our hearts and work with us there. And that we don't reject correction. Because wisdom always wants to grow in our lives. Growing in wisdom. Amen. Amen. Well, we're going to prepare for communion this morning. And I would like to invite all of you, if you would join me in our thanksgiving and confession this morning as we prepare. So let's join together, and I want to invite all of you to pray with me if you would like to. God of all our journeys, you lead us day by day. Sometimes the going is smooth and we follow gladly. Sometimes the going gets tough and we face obstacles and choices. Forgive us when we go astray and give us the wisdom to step forward. Pour out your Spirit upon these gifts of bread and vine that we, as we receive them, we may know the life-giving power of Christ's resurrection anew in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, let's receive of His grace today and receive of His forgiveness as we share at the table. I'm going to invite our deacons and deaconesses, if they would come this morning as we open our hearts to share together at the table. Thank you.
there, Jesus took the cup and he gave thanks for it. He said, this cup is a new covenant in my blood, which is shed for the forgiveness of sins. Take and drink from it and do it in remembrance of me. Let's partake.
The Apostle Paul said, as often as we eat of the bread and drink of the cup,
we are proclaiming the Lord's death until he comes. If you were wondering a little bit about that bread in there this morning, that was real unleavened bread that Jesus and his disciples would have had on the Passover. Elaine Meyer made that for us. And Elaine, I can tell you, that was far better unleavened bread than what I had had in the past. One time it was so dry I could barely eat it. So
let's go ahead and let's stand, because we'll get to do some fellowship downstairs if you're staying. And we're going to go ahead and join together and sing our chorus, Thou Art Worthy, number 40, or on the PowerPoint as we close out today.
Thou art worthy, Thou art worthy, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory, glory.
Join together for our benediction. Go forth with God's blessing. May the Lord bless and keep us, shine his face and be gracious to us, lift us up and give us peace. Amen.